too, and find my way around. So I wanna just kind of tie in that a little bit with this message this morning. When I woke up this morning, the Lord spoke a word to me, and I knew the Lord was talking to me about this morning, and he told me about that I should share something about self-esteem, and gave me a word. He said, the first word is self-esteem, because I've been asking him about different things. The other day we were talking about messages and so on, and we're sending out our new newsletter across Canada. Every couple of months we send out a newsletter for our partners across Canada for our television program. We were figuring out what we were going to send, so we looked at various messages, and so we might even send this one. I'm not sure, so we'll have to see, because she's been working on, I need an editor. Does anybody can help me out with editing? So I have a number of books that I want to publish, so if you can help me out, I'd be very, very happy to use you, or use you. Everybody likes to. Nobody likes to be used, People say, "Well, nobody uses me, so we're going to use you." Find that 2 Corinthians 5:17, please, and I'm going to read this in New Living Translation. So, New Living Translation of 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is talking about identity. We have all got a new identity since we've come to Jesus. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, how many people belong to Jesus over here? Well, we got a half of you. Some of you don't know yet. Anyway, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. A new person. Old life is gone. The new life has begun. So coming to Jesus, everything is wiped out. You got a brand new start. And then there's a brand new life ahead for you. Thank God for that. And you know what? If you fall, you can get up again, start again. No matter how many times you fail. I know lots of times when I became a Christian, I didn't go back out there again, but I knew that when I failed in something, and it may be a moral issue or ethical issue, I knew that God can help me. And I knew I could start again. And I thank God I went to a good church where they taught me who I was, because I struggled with identity, and I struggled with, I don't want to get into this political idea, but this whole thing of the colonization of First Nations people, I forgot who I was. Didn't know my background. I lost my language almost, and I lost a number of things, the culture and the way of life. Some of it is, I don't care if I lost some of it, because, some people ask me about going out snowmobiling. Well, that's one thing I don't like doing, because I grew up cold all my life. So I want it warm. I like something warm. If you take me sea-doing, maybe I'd like that better. So thank God for that. I thank God that some people can do that. Everyone needs to know, who they are. And so they can become who they need to be, and what they're created to do. Every one of us is created to do something great in life. Every one of us needs to focus on that. So there are many people who have a distorted opinion of themselves, and they need to develop a healthier picture. No matter who we are or what we have done as Christians in our failures and our defeats in life, we need to have create a healthier perspective, image of ourselves. And that's quite a challenge sometimes. It's a challenge to develop into that healthy perspective, because it doesn't go away right away, because, immediately when you achieve something, there's always something else to meet you there to challenge you. Anybody ever found that out? There's always something else to challenge you. So I want to pray with you. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the power of the gospel of Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here, that's enabled us to receive and listen. He will enlarge our understanding and give us the grace to do the things that we can't do on our own. I give you praise for this message, for you said in your word this morning that this is something that people need to hear. So I want to praise you by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, you know, sometimes the majority of people, sometimes they have a different perspective. As a Christian, you know, you have a certain perspective, but there's a great majority of people that don't think like you and I. They don't feel the same way about God or about following the things of God and the kingdom of God, and they see things differently. In the Bible, it does, you know, the Bible always tells us, you know, shows us something, that it's not always the majority that has the right answer to life. You know, sometimes you go to, there's certain people that have an opinion about you or anything else you're doing. And we can't go to those people to try to identify who you really are. You know, you could go on Facebook and say, you know, what do you identify me as? You know, I see people doing that a lot of times. That's the craziest thing ever to do. Ask people, what do you see in me? You know, they'll probably pick something negative anyway. They'll say your nose can be fixed up a little bit or something. But you know, we need to focus on the things that God has given us to focus on in the Scripture. So people in the world sometimes conform to the image of the social media and everything they tell you to be. You have to have a certain kind of lifestyle. You have to look a certain way. You have to act a certain way. You have to drive a certain thing. And all of us have been impacted that way. In so many ways, we've been impacted by the news or by fashion and so on. If you don't have this fashion, you don't cut your hair this way. You don't have this kind of hair. Or if you don't look this way, you're not really that good. So they kind of, you don't feel like you fit in there. And I, as a kid, you know, I didn't always feel like I fit in the images that I saw out there, the advertisements. I didn't always feel like I fit in there. And I had a challenge with that. And I feel, you know, because people want to sell things, I guess products and so on, you know, so they wouldn't pick me for that for sure. And so I kind of felt left out of that. But, you know, social media today, you know, prescribes for us something, you know, not always healthy. You know, we have to pick a healthier, you know, perspective. Sometimes you might have to get rid of some of your friends on social media. I'm not sure. So sometimes TV commercials and whatever they want to sell your product, and there's an image that comes along with it. So in the Scripture, we see in the Numbers chapter, I believe it's chapter 13 there, in verse 31 and 33, it says that the majority of people did not have a good perspective of who they were in terms of what God told them to do. Like, you know, Robbie was talking about this morning. Those guys in Numbers, God spoke to the man of God, and so these guys went out to spy out the land to see what the land was, because they're supposed to take the land. And how many people know you have to take the land? He's talking about you. There's some land that you have to take and conquer and go ahead and win some stuff. It's not all about you. This life is not all about you and how your comforts are. A lot of times, it's about what you're doing to help somebody else. If somebody else out there needs you. And, you know, our lives are really not for ourselves to live. The Bible shows us we need to live for other people. So here's a man. There's two people in this chapter here, number 13. And there's two people there by the name of Caleb and Joshua. These people believed God's word. They were readily to follow God and whatever God said. God said, go out and, you know, take this land from me. But there's a majority of people that says, no, we can't do this. How many of you remember that story? He said, no, we can't do this, because they begin to look at what they were up against. In other words, they were looking at their circumstances. They looked at the giants they were facing. Perhaps you have a giant in your life that you're trying to overcome. They looked at the big walled cities, the circumstances of walled cities, and you know, how can we penetrate this wall to take this city down? But God said to them, you're going to take the city. And sometimes we look at things when we want to do some project or something that God's spoken to us. So we look at the giant, so to speak. We look at the kind of people and whatever circumstances are coming against us. Maybe people's opinions. Those giants are people's opinions of who you are. And you better stay in your place, because you know what you're good for. You're good for nothing. Because when I was a kid, you know, I lived in a terrible, country, part of the country where I was. And people said to me I was nothing. They said, you're nothing. And I was told by one of my cousins, told me that you're garbage. Literally said, you're garbage. You know, you'll never amount to anything. And people said to me, and one of my cousins, who was a great person of influence, told me the same thing. And so I always felt, that way. And so what I felt inside, what the devil told me, what I was like, someone came in and kind of told me the same thing. And so it kind of verified it. So I said, you know what? That's what I am. I'll never be able to achieve anything. And so I spent a lot of time thinking about that. I was poor. How could I, a little boy, 5, 6 years old, and growing up, 8 years old, 10 years old, come against what people said, that I'd never be able to do anything in life. So I struggled very difficult image of feeling, how I could achieve in life. And so I didn't feel very good for many, many years. I suffered from, PTSD, because I lived in a home that was full of destruction. And I can't mention everything in here what happened in my home, but it was very difficult living in my home. And so I know what it's like to come out of the lowest part of life and to come out from something. And, when I got saved, that's why when I got saved, I was so happy. I got so happy because everything, when they said, literally when they say, when someone comes to Jesus, and the scales fall from your eyes, and the whatever you felt, all the heaviness you felt, literally, that's what happened to me. Literally, all the heaviness and the ugliness fell away. And I felt the beauty of the Lord. The joy of gladness came in my life. And depression left immediately. And the sky was brighter. And it seemed like I was, free. It was wonderful to sense salvation in that very impacting way. Some people get saved. They say, "Oh, I'm born again now." Praise God. But for me, I was absolutely saved, radically saved. I want to tell everybody that I'm brand new, that Jesus saved me. I'm alive. I'm born again, and you should have some of this. But not everybody wanted it, so they said this guy is crazy. He's absolutely. He went to a treatment center. He went to an AA program. Now he's absolutely really crazy. He got Jesus, so. He lost his mind, they said. Going back to Caleb and Joshua, these two people wouldn't fall into that. They said, you know what? Listen, we can do this. If God said it, we can do it. Everybody said, if God said it, I can do it. See, God's not going to tell you something. He's not going to tell you to do something that is contrary. When he tells you something, you can do it. And so I know, whenever opposition comes against you, and I thank God that you remember that, Robbie, and that's what I've been told from my elders as well. Ask yourself, what does God's word say about my situation? What does he say about this? Well, the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One thing, praise God. I know he says that in there, that he shall supply all of my needs. Amen? He says in there that he's my shepherd. He's going to lead and guide and feed me wherever he leads me. He'll feed me. Glory to God. Amen. I thank God for that. Yeah, I'm more than enough, because God is more than enough. You have to see yourself as God sees you. God loves you, and he looks at you as precious. There's nobody like you. There's only one like you. Everybody say thank God. There's nobody like you. And then you're getting better all the time. Some of you, when you came here, you're more beautiful than you were last year. Amen? And so you're growing to, you're getting better and better. And when Jesus comes, you're going to look really, really good. Don't feel bad about it. So, as we get older, and I don't know how old you are, but I'm getting up there myself. But things break down sometimes, right? Yeah, I always go to her because she always helps me out with this message. Because as you get older, things happen. Your teeth fall out, and your toenail goes this way, and you know, different things happen in you as you get older. And I was at the gym, you know, I thought I was doing pretty good. You know, I'm talking about self-image, you know, I'm going to gym, you know, I look in the mirror, I'm doing pretty good for a man my age, you know. And I just left some weights there, and I'm training there, and I went over there to get some of the yells, and a couple of young men came by and said, who has these things? He said, that old man over there, they pointed at me. And I'm looking over there, where's that old man anyway? I didn't realize I was that old then. You know, so it's when people tell you you're old, and so when they start calling you mister and, you know, all that, so I feel that way sometimes. I'm trying not to feel old. You know? So that's why I like hanging around my kids. They help me out. You know, I'm not going to speak long, but I want to just remind you about that. That's Joshua and Caleb. Jaleb. That's not like a black guy's name, Jaleb. They kind of create names, you know. I want to do that as a Ojibwe guy. I want to create my own names, too. Because we do the same thing. You know, we create names. But where was I? Anyway, Caleb and Joshua. Okay, thank you. They believe God. They believe what he said, you know, instead of believing what the majority say. You can't just go to people and ask them about opinions. You know, who says you have to walk by opinions? The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. That means we walk by the principles that are contained in the Bible. This is my phone. This is the Bible. But it's always the same thing, right? So how did that ever happen? Anyway. People can, you know, like, I have all my life in here. Yeah. How many people have their lives in here? All the information, everything you want to know is in here. And so don't lose your phone, yeah? So it's amazing when you lose it, you just lose everything. But I write notes to myself. How many of you write notes to yourself? You have to write notes to yourself and put a sign and say to yourself, you know, you're wonderful. Right? Because if you're waiting for somebody to write you a letter, you're going to wait a long, long time. Write your own. So like you know, people go to church sometimes, they want people to prophesy to them. There's a prophet coming in or an evangelist says, oh, I might sit in the front because they might call me out and prophesy something to me. And nothing ever happens. But you have to prophesy your own self. Look in the mirror and just start prophesying to yourself. And you could exhort your own self. Learn how to do that. If you haven't learned that, try it. Go home this afternoon and prophesy to yourself. There's another guy in Judges. His name is Gideon. Judges chapter 6, verse 9 to 16. And they're being attacked by an enemy. You know, the enemy is always ready to attack. If you're a Christian, you know, he's going to attack you no matter what you do. Whether you serve God or not, you're still going to have trouble. And so you might as well serve God and have victory and just learn how to stay in the victory. And so this guy, they're hiding from the enemy. And the Lord began to speak to him that this man, you know, God sees you as a warrior, as a more than a conqueror. And so he tells him, you know, tells him some things there. You're a mighty man of God. And he's looking around and he says, you know, who are you talking to me? You know? And so Gideon, he understood about the ancient writings of the scriptures. He knew about the prophecies about Israel and so on, about his people. And he says, you know, if God is for us, you know, the man came to him and the word of the Lord came to him and spoke to him about different things. And he said, if God is for us, how come we're having all this trouble? That's what he said. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, no matter what you do in life, you're going to have trouble. So people say this in times of trouble, right in the midst of trouble, they say things, really a bad confession. And they say, you know, if God is for me, why am I having this trouble? You know, you need to stop saying that. Because God is always with you. He'll never forsake you. It might look like the devil's winning, but he's not going to win. If you hang on to the Word of God, you're going to come out on top every time. And so this Gideon, he's complaining about these things. You know, if God's for me, how come I got all this trouble? Just like most people will do as a Christian. You know, he begins to talk about all the things that should happen if God's for you and so on. And so he makes this mistake like a lot of us. So this angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Oh mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Gideon replied, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us all about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but not, the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites?" And then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you." But Lord, Gideon said, or replied, "How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest, the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am at least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you." Now, he's looking at his own natural, family lineage and so on. Like when God called you, he never called you because you belong to the Beardy family, right? He never called you because you belong to the Anderson family or the McQuaids. God called you. He knew you from the beginning. And God has a calling on you. And he's going to do things in your life that has no basis on whether you went to university or where you came from or what side of the tracks you came from. God's called you. He has a call on your life. And so that's what we have to remember when we're going through different struggles. And so that's what I think about. You know, sometimes I'm working on projects, and we're trying to get things together. And then God said to me, and I always remember this. You know, when God calls you, he's always got somebody else in mind to help you. How many people know that? If God calls you to do something difficult, he knows where to find that person just to meet you somewhere so you can have the help that you need. And thank God for that. And there's going to be intersection today, I believe, Rob and the rest of you guys. There's going to be more people coming in to help out with this project. We're also going to be building on our project, on our property as well, a women's home. So that's going to be coming up. We're going to do it, praise the Lord. Amen? Because we need more help in this city, to help these women. So, I thank God for this project. I thank God for what's happening here with the Teen Challenge people and all the folks that is coming in. There's people that, we meet every day. Working at the college there for several years, how many kids I met who have come with drug addictions that are no longer with us today because they had nowhere to go. These young girls have nowhere to go. A lot of times they come to us, I don't know where to send them. I don't have anywhere to put them. But because I'm in this community, people know about me, I can send them to Jen. Say, "Jen, you take care of these people." And they will. And so, we need to encourage each other more and more, because there's so much negativity in this world. And so maybe if you're feeling negative today, feeling bad about your life, listen, don't look at yourself. Look at who you are. God sees you as precious. And what's happening to you, your past doesn't have to define your future. Just because that all that happened in your past doesn't mean that's the way your future is going to be. I like what Job 8:7 says, though your beginning was small, your latter days will greatly increase. I mean, there's going to be better days ahead. If you've had some good mornings, how many of you guys had some good mornings since you've been TC? Okay, so there's going to be better mornings coming. A greater time. And they'll follow people like Robbie and those kinds of people and listen to them. They know what it's like and how to get out of that situation. And so today, folks, I want to tell you, God is for you. There's nothing can come against you. Amen. No matter how you feel, the best thing you need to do is get out of yourself and stop thinking about how you feel about things and what you think about it, what everybody else thought about it, what they think about you. And I wouldn't have ever imagined how God has given me a life the way I have today. I was telling my wife about some little things I had as a kid, what I didn't have and what I wished I used to have, sitting on the wrong side of the tracks. I thank God for the tracks, but I didn't have to live on the other side. I came out of that other side, praise God. Addictions is a horrible thing. You know, I don't have addictions anymore. I don't have addiction problems. I don't ever want to go and use drugs. I don't want to put anything in my arm. I don't want to sniff something. I don't want to drink anything anymore. I don't have that problem. I don't have that problem anymore. But I'm directly affected by it by my family members. Someone's dying. Some family member is still using. And different people just struggling. I have lots of family members that are using. But I'm still affected in so many ways. And so you cannot live in this world without being affected by addictions. There's so many people being affected by addictions. But we can be there for people and tell them it can be done, that they can come out of it. And so because, you know, you get so blinded when you're using, you get so blinded by your feelings. And you lose your mind and you can't see your way out of it. And that's the enemy impacts people. My daughter, Natasha, just got back from up north. She travels once a week in the north. She flies up north. You know, she said, "Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need a job." And she's been working, trying to with her career in Toronto. And she has an apartment. And I've been dishing out some money. I said, "You know, you got to pay up sometime. You know, the $1,400 is a lot of money every month. You know, plus whatever." And so she said, "Dad, I got to get a job." "So you got to get a job? Yeah, you need a job." She lives right. She was living right next door to the, what is that place where they play baseball there. For a year at Rogers Center. So she moved into another place with her friend just by the airport there, Porter. She just jumps off and jumps on the plane and comes home. And so she said, "Dad, I need to think about it." So we've been praying about different things, you know. She said, "I need a job and I got to pay this, I got to pay that." And so we got to trust God. I said, "Let's trust God. You got to believe God for different things, you know." I wanted to learn too. I could just dish out a few bucks, but people, you know, we need to train our kids about trusting God. Like you said, trust God. And so she says, okay. And so she trusts God. So so she got hired by this team. So every month they go to a First Nations community up north. She travels way up north, goes right to the North Pole, almost sees the snowman up there, different ones, great snowman. Anyway, they pay her good money. You know, like a kid like that, just goes up there, makes like $3,000 a week, just to go. That's what I want to do, that kind of job. In the music, you know. So she said, I told her, "Dad," and she said to me, "Dad," I said, "you know, you shouldn't take this guitar and put it on. You got to carry it when you go there because it's going to crack." So she calls me, and the next day she said, "Dad, my guitar cracked." You know, don't you like that when somebody says, "I told you shouldn't have done that"? But I love it when I say that because you have to listen. But, so we have to, you know, she said to me, "Dad, you know, we had a young boy. I can't remember. He's just a very young boy, 10 years old. I can't remember what he was, 12 years old. He said they came to our show. And she said, "You know, tonight I was planning on killing myself tonight. But I came here and heard you guys speak. I heard this." And with tears, Natasha was crying. Because this little boy was confessing to them that he wanted to commit suicide, and because he heard a positive message. You know, we need to be positive with people and give a positive message and let people know that somebody out there cares for them. You know, isn't it wonderful that when somebody just extends a hand and shows you that they care about you, it just goes a long, long way. So I want to encourage you, you know, just be good this week. Don't be bad. You know, when you go buy something, if they're mean to you at the Tim Hortons, just say, "Praise God, amen. I'm going to pay you double, eh?" You know, so a lot of times, you know, how many of you tease, you know, Tim Hortons guys, you drive around, you make jokes about them. Sometimes we tease them, you know, go around. But every once in a while, we get people who recognize us. They give us some fresh cookies or something. Praise God. You want to stand up and let's go ahead and praise God. Get the music team up here. We're going to close with a song and a dance. Amen. Thank God. Those of you that are watching online, thank you for watching this morning, the Faith City Church. You're watching. Come on, guys, let's move up. Vit, 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 vit. Praise God. I don't know why I spoke French. Amen. I speak French, a little bit of Greek. Praise God. See, look at these guys. They're just taking their time. Look at this guy. He's stiff, he says. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many? What kind of song you want to hear? We're not taking requests, are we?
$100.
Praise the Lord. How many of you love Jesus? Amen. You love Jesus? Lift your hand and thank Him today. Amen. Thank Him that you're a brand new creature in Christ. Oh, Lord, we want to thank you today that we are brand new. Old has gone away. The new has come. Thank you today for life. Thank you that I can have brand new life today. An opportunity again. There's hope in my future. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for those today that are not saved. And I pray right now they're going to call out to your name. It says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to thank you. Those of you that are watching online, if you say, Jesus, come in my life, I need you. You can be saved right now. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.